Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From a Snappy Snaps, here on the planet of Traken, a shop that's about to suspend the account of Anthony Ainley, as he quite literally every single photo he's got's got a hair in the gate, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, stubbornly still the only Doctor Who podcast to be made by three men who will never say the N space word live on air. I am Paul Litchard, and joining me like two slices of theatrical ham inside a long case clock are Mr. Tom Neenan and Mr. John Rain. Say hello, boys.
Hello.
For it is time to greet a full-time pervert. You will obey me, true print, and a part-time companion. A very tired doctor can I sleep through this story as we tend the groves of the Keeper of Traken.
Mm. Woo! Paul?
Yeah?
What was on TV that day?
Is this a new thing you're doing now?
What was the TV that way?
Why was the TV that way?
Was it a film or was it Grandstand?
Or a play?
Was it a play that
for
we
today?
Don't
I'll tell you now with my mouth. It was Saturday the 31st of January 1981.
So people are really struggling with their New Year's resolutions at this point.
Yes, not watch Doctor Who.
Yeah.
First thing, oh God, I've broken it already. I'm watching Doctor Who.
Well, Tom's struggling. Full stop, isn't it?
Tom is struggling now, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's no longer
it's quite
natural.
It's jarring when you go from Hand of Fear to Keeper of Traken. You're like, what happened?
That's not a natural curly perm anymore,
no.
Is it?
No.
His eyes, he's got like ball sacks around his eyes.
I know. Oh, television began that day at 9:05 on BBC One Horseback with David Vine.
That's how he likes it.
Yeah. I think Jeremy Vine was on Horseback.
I think it's a documentary about a medical condition he had where he has a horse's back. Look at this. I don't know if that's how David Vine talks. I think so.
I don't know. It doesn't sound very stable.
Very nice.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Bolted, so stable horse. Ah, fuck it. Yeah. Anyway, it was episode 9, Confirmation. Whatever the fuck that means. Is that when you confirm that you've seen a horse?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Not a mule.
Yeah, it's not an ass or a mule, sir. This is a horse. Shire or Pitt? Episode 10, I'd imagine.
The shyest.
Pitt the younger.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, that's a really young pit pony. That's good.
Yeah.
Never wrong with that. 9:30, Multicolour Swap Shop.
Yay.
No blurb.
Oh, it could
not
be anyone.
Not a single fucking word. Ridiculous. After that, of course, was Grandstand from 12:15 to 5:10. Grandstand, bloody Grandstand. Then straight into Doctor Who. Straight in, 5:10.
Oh, nice.
5:10. Keeper of Traken, part un.
Un.
There is a write-up for you, Tom.
There you go.
The Keeper of Traken is nearing the end of his long reign.
Yes.
Fearing a terrible
John
evil
Rain.
Is about to threaten the peace and harmony of the world, he requests the Doctor's help. To be honest, this four-parter is very much... with occasional... Oh!
Hey, dare I say a snore-parter?
Well, oh, I see. Oh. After Doctor Who was the Dukes of Hazzard. Just a good old boys.
Never mean no harm.
Constantly committing crimes. Because they were actually criminals.
They were
Let's
criminals.
Face facts.
They were
They're
lovable criminals.
This ridiculous sort of Lovejoyan thing that we give to these Royster Doysters who actually are criminals.
And the only way they got away with it is because their car doors didn't open, so they had to jump in through the window. And every time they pressed the... They would always jump their car, which was called the General Lee.
General Lee.
Had a
and they
flag.
Pressed the horn, it went...
It did.
Yeah.
That
was the only reason they got away with
but
it.
But I don't think you can use that as a defence in a court.
If the crazy.
So
have done
why
that.
Did you all commit grand larceny, murder, and patricide because we like to jump in our cars sideways through the doors? innocent. Mm.
I was in the I was in the Blind Beggar the day that the craze Jack the Hat Mavity.
Yeah,
I was the one before when it was ba 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 ding dong.
Jack the Hat Mavity, of course, who was dunked for the last time.
And the chocolate coating. Doesn't
him.
Make any sense.
Jack,
he went in a digestive, he came out a jammy dodger.
Oh, there's other ones, but they could be racist. Anyway, in this Duke's Hazard, Daisy falls in love again.
Oh.
We all fell in love with Daisy, didn't we?
Daisy!
Daisy!
Do you remember they did a movie of it and like no one went to see it?
Yeah.
So it was Johnny Knoxville. And
yes, as Daisy Duke. Weird choice.
Johnny Knoxville and Stifler.
Was it Stifler?
Yeah.
And they were the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, and yeah. It was like Jessica
Simpson.
Simpson.
Who's
playing
Roscoe Picklejohn?
Who was
and Boss Hogg?
Boss Hogg.
Boss Hogg was Burt Reynolds, wasn't it?
Good casting.
Or maybe Roscoe Picklejohn was Burt Reynolds.
Holy shit, really? Mm. Oh, I might have to watch it now.
Yeah.
Just to see a bit better.
She did a cover of.
And Willie Nelson was the. The old geezer.
Like, come in my shop and I'll fix up your dick.
That's right.
She did a cover of These Boots Are Made For Walking.
That's right. And no one went to see the film.
And nobody heard the song.
No.
Nobody's seen us since.
They might as well have released The Day the Clown Cried.
Speaking of which, after Dukes of Hazzard, Jim will fix it. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
7:10 was Nanny.
Nanny.
I don't remember Nanny.
I think it was like a gentle pastoral drama, comedy drama.
Nanny.
This is the time when I would have been. I remember particularly watching The Duke's Hazzard with my brother and parents.
Mm.
So this is formative 4-year-old me watching telly. Yeah. I don't remember Nanny.
Well, Nanny. It says this: rain all day. The children are becoming quarrelsome. So Nanny offers an eccentric solution.
Kills them.
Kills herself.
Yeah.
Well, I know what to do, children, if you're not feeling very happy. Kill me. Kill me now.
She gives them
diamonds.
LSD.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's where the Cat in the Hat is born.
Yes. Nice.
There you go. Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. After that was the Dick Emery Show. That's 3 sketches over 45 minutes. Oh, they went on a bit.
Have you got a cup of titties? I mean tea.
Yeah. Oh, I do love you, but I'm an awful old pederast. let's do some more of his characters.
I'm wrong again. I'm done.
Oh, no. Hello, I'm Rickard. I'm
No, what have I done? And I'm a qualified dentist. That one.
Yeah.
Can't remember this.
How dare you take my brick?
Mm.
That one.
Yeah. Would I give me a taxidermist? I'm blind!
There I saw go. A sketch posted the other day.
Erection!
Where he was
my favorite.
Using a Hoover on his car.
Mm.
Right, which you shouldn't do.
Somehow he put it in. No, it was still a Hoover, and he pointed at a young lady, and her dress came off.
Oh, of course it would have sucked her dress up, yeah.
And then it cut to her going, in her underwear, and it cut back to him, and he was just like, I was like, that was entertainment.
That was it. That was all
Did
he
needed. Did the car also get aroused? Did the bonnet go up? The aerial?
The aerial went up.
does the car have a bigger
aerial? I don't know why, but tons of semen came out of the exhaust pipe.
Came out of the windscreen wipe.
Yeah.
That, a prop like that cost like $15,000 back in the day, wouldn't it? And they thought it was worth it.
Very expensive
prop
that was. Dick Henry's cum car.
Matchbox put it out, didn't they? You could put milk in it.
Do you remember when he drove it onto the Blue Peter set and he showed it all off?
Yeah. Simon Groom was like, how does this cum car work?
It's like John Pertwee showing off the Hoover and he was like, well, there's actually a suspension back.
Then there's a Janet Fielding and she went, well, I'm going to show you how to make your own cum out of cum.
Of course, Dick Emery, at this point, he's only had 2 years to live.
Oh,
is it? At this point, what, during this episode?
During this episode.
Just before he went on.
The doctor phoned him.
Shit. I don't like... You know what I subconsciously have in my mind when I think of Dick Emery?
Mm. Yeah.
Is someone's penis being rubbed with an emery board. makes me... Ooh. Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. What a horrible image.
It's not nice at all.
No.
So that's callus.
That's what I think about whenever I think of Dick Emery.
That's in France.
Oh, sorry.
Maria Callas.
Dover de Callas. Yeah.
Mr. Meng.
So hang on. So whenever we say the word Dick Emery,
yeah.
You immediately think of an emery board going across your gland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, let me square on in the eye. Dick Emery. Oh, yeah.
He's
definitely thinking about it.
Oh, no, thank you.
God, he's got emery boards on the brain, this one. He loves it. Anyway, after Dick Emery show was Dallas. Dallas.
Was Johnson greater? Oh, no, same
Dallas
problem.
With Barbara Bel Geddes, of course. and
Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman.
Who was, it sounds like a witch dressed as a man.
He would always go, always do that little rush bit at the end, wouldn't he?
And then light a cigar.
and then Ken Kochevil, Cliff Barnes, would always order a Chinese meal.
That's right.
And they then, always went out for big elaborate dinners and they never touched a thing. And they used to have big tumblers of whiskey and they never drank them.
And Patrick Duffy would walk in and look all smooth.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a man from Atlantis.
Have a 4-year shower.
Yeah. I just remember Larry Hagman being on Shooting Stars and looking looking
well confused.
Befuddled. So confused.
Befuddled, bemused, and slightly upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
There's a good... Again, this is useless trivia, but there's very good... He did like the Royal Variety performance or something.
Ooh,
and he did
Larry.
A song. Yeah.
Oh.
Come out in an oversized Stetson.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what the song was or what it was, but
it would have been
very good.
Oil business, like oil business, oil business, I oil.
He sang the thing to Dallas, but put words to it that he made up.
I like Dallas, I'm in Dallas.
Better than Dynasty.
Yeah. I've got black gold coming at the yin-yang, and also out of my pee.
Queen Mother stands up.
Queen Mother.
Like, encouraging everybody really forcefully.
Yeah. And you're like, fuck, it's Queen Mother, we better do it.
Yep.
Yeah, because you get the Luger out.
I'm from Dallas, I'm from Dallas. It's better than Dynasty.
Amazing.
I've got black gold coming up my marigolds. And I said, about my pee. And at number
someone,
one.
Listeners, who can tidy that up?
Yeah, come on.
Please tidy that up and put a lovely electro beat.
Do a Peter Jackson and separate Paul's vocals and put on a new song.
Come on, Paul Hardcastle. Get your finger out of the oil well.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Texas anyway. Tea.
19 oil wells.
This episode of Dallas was called The End of the World. The End of the Road Part 2. So it really wasn't, was it?
Well, do you remember at the end of Dallas, JR met the devil?
What?
Is
and then
this
shot
true?
Himself.
At Crossroads.
He actually meets him.
He meets the devil. And the devil comes to him. No, he's just a bloke in dressed in black. Mm. But he comes to him in his room.
Get
and
off.
Then JR shoots himself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's true.
That's mental.
Mm. Yeah. They were well mental in those days, weren't they?
I know Dynasty went crazy because they had alien
that
abduction.
Alien abduction.
Was that, genuinely.
Or was that the... There was a spin-off, wasn't there, called the...
The Dallanese.
I want to say the Crosbys, but
no,
that's not right.
it's the name of it's Carrington's or something.
Carrington's.
I can't remember. The Carrington Show.
Yeah.
Film before a live studio oil well. Oh, that's Dallas. Hang on. Shit.
Dynasty wasn't oil though, was it? I don't know.
No, Dynasty was just power.
Just power.
Just power for power's sake.
There was another one. Was it like Falcons?
Falco.
Falco.
He was singing Rock Me Amadeus at the time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to do with this. Yeah. Anyway, after Dallas was feet he's gone. I'm afraid it's Parkinson.
Oh, who was on? Who were the guests?
No, you never get a write up in the Radio Times. They never tell you because they sometimes don't know from an hour before transmission.
Oh yeah, they just get anyone.
Because
they're
literally going. Eartha Kitt said she was going to do it, but she hasn't fucking turned up. So they're like,
someone.
Get me Emberg,
get Connolly again.
Yeah.
Oh come on.
Oh yeah, I bet that.
I'm
I bet
doing a
job. I bet he came on a couple of times.
Michael, that when you're on a chat show, your pubes go grey.
Bravo. No, he's really good. He's very, very, very funny.
He's not very well, is he? Bless him.
He's not.
I mean, Parkinson.
Oh,
he's very bad.
He's with Pipes.
Pipes.
Yeah.
He's gone to visit Pipes.
They share a flat together. It's like the Odd Couple.
Listen, if any of you are ever out and about and you happen to pass or see the wonderful comedy actress Margaret Cavon Smith, just say Pipesman Pipes to her and she'll start crying.
Really? Is
she gets so upset and scared by it. It's a good way sometimes just to get her out of the room.
Pipes.
Just go, Pipesman Pipes. And she'd go, oh, fuck, and she'd run.
What if you were like making a icing? And she said, what do we need to make the icing? You said piping.
Yeah.
Would she get scared?
I think she'd maybe wet herself,
You should go on her very successful podcast, Crushed.
Yeah. Well,
No one's been asked.
That's not going to stop me.
We haven't got the clout. You've been asked, haven't you?
Yes.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Not done it yet, no.
He's such a little bastard, isn't he?
Because I'd just Well, the trouble is my biggest crush is Pipes.
I was going to say, you should go on and reveal Pipes as your crush.
Oh, no, that's going to be a really weird one. Just you in the studio.
Yeah. Ooh. But then I start walking around going, oh, I'm Pipes.
You should say, I'll tell you what, a lot of the fucking ectoplasm when I see Pipes, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, bloody
I have been asked by Margaret to be on Crushed.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've had her on my podcast.
And you'll talk about your crushes.
Eventually
she'll get to me.
When the figures are really...
You'll talk. They'll
same
talk,
with me.
Who
they?
Would be? Who's your? Well, no, that's her podcast. Let's do our podcast.
I'm not doing work for. No.
Yeah. Oh, we should do that. Actually, we should all swap podcasts for one day.
Yay!
Yeah. We could do that for comic relief.
We should do that for comic relief.
Comic relief. Like Tom can do. My dad wrote a porno.
I'll do my dad wrote a porno.
I'll do off menu. Yeah. Because I love cooking.
You love cooking. You're a good cook.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I'll do.
Eddie Kidd Show.
Yeah.
No, hang on. Do Newsnight.
Oh, the news agents.
The news agents. Well, that was a bad day for Rishi Sunak.
Turns out the Conservative Party is not very good.
Whoa!
See you at the same time next week. Run the credits.
Snip that and post it on Twitter.
Do No Such Thing as a Fish.
Is that the QI one?
Yeah. Say, did you know that there's no flag for...
Many people think that the Belgrano was a type of cake.
It's really one of those ones where
let's see what Alan Davis said. Yeah. Type of cake. Actually, Alan, the Belgrano was a ship during the Falklands.
You blew it up.
It'd be one of those ones where they go, actually, there's no such thing as a colour red. And you go, fuck off, there is.
There it is.
No, there isn't. You've always been mistaken. You're like, get off. Anyway, after that was Dawn.
Dawn!
Yeah. A documentary about Dawn Fraser, who, despite winning 3 gold consecutive medals at the Olympics, could only find a job delivering groceries.
Was it on in the evening? So it was PM Dawn.
Yeah,
it was PM Dawn. Set a drift for baby, please.
How bleak is that? She won 3 gold consecutive medals at the Olympics, can only find a job delivering groceries. I hope that she does them like the discus.
Yes.
Yeah. If that's what she...
It's a Skwarkovsky crystal! Yeah. Anyway, there you go. And that was it on BBC One, Slum Buckums. BBC Two programmes began at 10:30 of the AM with Open University. Courses included Energy, Europe, Maths, Close Down. Sorry, but we have to move on.
I didn't have time.
3:25, Play Away with Brian Cant and Anita Dobson.
What?
And Anita Dobson.
Anyone can fall in love.
Anyone can. This smart sweet. Is I just wanted to joke about when does that in EastEnders and how that would be into Play Away, but I can't really.
This is my sweet. May look like a balloon, but it's actually a football.
Yeah, you go. Oh, yeah. Nice. This is my sweet. May look like a song about the Grand Duke of York, but it's actually a Gatling gun.
It's actually Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, it's actually Jeremy.
Did anyone else used to sing the lyrics? Anyone can fall in love, even a banana.
Nope. Just you.
No, they did not.
Save that for Crush. You all right?
Strange boy.
My parents used to sing anyone can fall in love.
Even a banana. It doesn't even track off the text. It's not even canon.
There's
not
enough syllables.
Even a banana. Hang on. Anyone can fall in love. Dodecahedrons in my loft.
That worked. Take that back to your parents.
Did it continue from banana?
No, it was just anyone can fall in love.
So it would go, anyone can fall in love, even a banana. And then end.
But you're missing the...
No.
Your parents.
Your parents need a bloody good talking to,
Tom. Yeah, anyone can fall in love, even a banana.
Trying to encourage that with you.
Didn't Brian May help her with that song? Didn't he produce it or something?
Well,
that's
would
how
have,
they kind of the, in their courtroom
when he's,
period.
When he's not looking up at the skies because he loves all that, doesn't he?
Well, this
he loves
was it. just before all that obsession. This was when they were courting.
Is he pro badger or anti badger? He's pro badger.
Pro badger.
Yeah,
pro badger.
Yeah, he likes badgers.
Yeah, he loves them.
That's why his hairs look like one.
Yeah. But he really loves them.
He can't decide whether to look up at the sky or down at the badgers. He
really loves badgers.
Well, they're both black and white, aren't they?
Oh, so true. It's
linked.
Oh, there's some mimes going on now.
Sorry, that was a mime.
That's not the kind of set I think he needs to be in. He's got a set list for gigs, but he doesn't want the badges on his set list.
The badger parade.
After Play Away, it was Did You See? At 5:35. Ludwig Kennedy. Discusses BBC and ITV news reports and stories with guest Peter Woon. What a great name, Woon.
Woon.
Hello, is that Mr. Woon? He's not in, it's Mrs. Woon there. Any of the little Woons?
It's Mr. Woon. What can I do?
Awful Chinese laundry, Did You See with Ludwig Kennedy?
After that was the Benson and Edges International Snooker semi-finals with Des Lynham.
I miss when sporting events just had cigarette brands right at the front.
The shoes were giant cigarettes, weren't they?
Yeah, brilliant. And just give out free fags in the queues. There you go.
You'd watch snooker in those days and it would just be a fug. Grey smoke.
How old are you? I'm four, and I call Billy, have a pipe.
Yeah. And everyone looks at it and goes, why does everyone who's like 60 look 1,000 back in there? You're like, well, everything was shrouded in smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Mind you, air travel was a lot better back then because of the smoking, because then they had to put more filters in and naturally circulate the air. Actually, airlines now, the cabin pressure is particularly bad, and that's why people have a lot of air-based problems and also deep vein thrombosis. So keep on puffing away, everyone. It's good for flying.
Can we look into that? There's you listening to Joe Rogan. Can we Google that?
After Benson Hedges' international snooker semi-finals at Des Lynam was Film International, Payment in Kind is the name of the film. It's a Czech film about a lawyer who is forced to move into the mountains for his health, but is transformed by a rabbit.
Boring.
Yawn! Yeah.
Transformed by a rabbit.
Yeah,
is it Roger Rabbit?
Oh.
By a rabbit.
Only when it's funny.
Breathe. Breathe. after that was Sons and Lovers by D.H. Lawrence. Oh, Doris the Filth! Oh, hang on, it's just a man's bum. Doris, come back in from the garden.
That's not the wrestling one, is it? That's
Women in Love.
Women in Love, of course.
I am a woman in love. There's no write-off for Sons and Lovers by D.H. Lawrence. And hold you within.
It's a defense. Over and over again.
Hang on a second, Tom. With bananas.
The banana.
After Sons and Lovers, I mean, there's a quote from it. It just says, I want to take a chance on that girl.
Ooh.
Jesus H. Corbett. After that was Arena. John Peel talks in Carl Shorten.
Is that the name of the band?
I don't know if he's inside a band called Carl Shorten or if he's in Carl Shorten. I don't know who he talks to, but he's actually in the vicinity of Carl Shorten.
Oh, I'm John Peel. No, that's
John Peel.
John Peel.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Is you bastards with bastard?
Well, it's time to listen to Morrissey.
He was called in Smashing Nicey Engineer. He was called John Past Bedtime. And they had him in a rocking chair with a blanket on him.
Oh, bless him.
Nice. Oh, I'm John Peel.
No, it's because of John
slightly
Peel.
Cancelled though.
He liked him young.
Slightly cancelled.
Like him a bit.
He liked him young.
He was in
Blow Your Tits Up. Hang on, that's another sketch.
That's Derek Clive.
That's Derek Clive.
He was in Dallas when Kennedy was assassinated.
Really?
Yeah, I was working.
I thought you were going to say he was in Dallas.
Oh, no.
I'm John Peel and I
like bananas.
John's favourite bit in
Greece. Oh, he would like bananas.
John's favourite bit in Greece is when they go, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, a bananas.
John Peel would like bananas because John Peel.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. See, we do this for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah. John's favourite bit in 2001 is when the music bomb bananas.
Again, monkeys are
monkeys
in it.
Yeah. They love bananas. Yeah, they throw the banana up in the sky, it becomes a ship. Yeah, which trips over itself.
It becomes Anita Dobson.
Anita Dobson. Yeah.
Floating in space, can't breathe, dies.
It's her husband at the end looking at the earth. Or is Big Afro trapped in the egg sack?
Love that.
I'd love
to see Brian May in an egg.
Brian May.
you can snip that for when we do a best of.
So you just see best of quotes now.
And if you want to see some Brian May in an egg,
if you want to
see some banana. anyway, after that was the O'Grey Whistle Test with Dire Straits and Talking Heads.
Great.
And that was your television joy, BBC One and BBC Two.
Tell you, why they didn't form a band together, they'd be Dire Heads.
Dire Heads. Straight Heads.
We've all been no.
Talking Straight.
Talking Straight.
Talking Straight with Dire Head. What?
Their number one hit, Banana.
All right, folks, let's just plow through this.
Yeah. We haven't got much time.
No, I'll be super quick. We're in the TARDIS, they're in End Space, they're trying to go to Gallifrey. Adric's already too familiar with the TARDIS console. I don't like it when Adric gets too familiar. Just get off, stop touching shit.
Also, you can't go to Gallifrey, we just established that you can't go take anyone.
Yeah, ridiculous anyway. The TARDIS control has been set to Traken, a planet of absolutely boring harmony.
Everyone's happy there.
It's the most dullest, boringest, harmonic place in the world.
Slarty Bartfast, very dull brother, appears in a throne.
Yes. Basically, I thought it looked like a hard-boiled egg that had been rolled in dog hair.
the actor as well, he's very subdued, isn't he?
You've all done very well.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
At the end of Young Mr. Traken. Young Mr. Traken.
It's when the Keeper of Traken's daughter made him do circuits of the garden.
Men's world.
Captain Charkin.
He should have a space lady with big knockers wheeling him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No.
Hello, Doctor.
Mr. Treeman, are you free?
So this is the keeper of Traken. Yeah. He's like, you've all done very well.
Yeah.
Who basically come, appears and goes, I got bad feeling about where I live. Will you come and help?
Fucking get grip, mate.
That's what goes, Captain Tom wishes he could have done.
Oh, God, yeah. It's Captain Traken.
Yeah. They're trying to build a sword.
I was once sent to a mysterious planet. Your dragon had to be the originator of the source and conduct all the power to power a planet's harmonics. I had to do it because she wanted a new fucking
power. Do you think that's how they bumped into the old keeper dragon because he was doing his laps?
Yeah.
It's zero gravity.
Universe. Yeah. So was he doing laps or was he doing lengths? Lengths, wasn't he?
Lengths of the universe. He's going from one end of the universe to the other very slowly.
So there you go. Yeah, he says, please, Doctor, help us. And the Doctor goes, yeah, I suppose I have to. Yeah. This is what this episode's about.
As you say, he does refer to the Traken as a planet where everyone boringly gets on.
Yeah, it just says a really boring, dull
imagine if,
place.
Like,
hooray,
Baker,
can't wait.
Powered by harmony.
If Tom Baker had been like, let's go to the planet where a big
planet coated horses,
a bit of beer and boobs and explosions, and
beer
then
boobs, and in your case bananas,
and then he turns up and goes, "Please help me."
So now suddenly we cut to Traken itself, and the Melkor appears, which looks like a very wonky statue.
I don't like this at all,
and it's a calcified statue that and. I don't get what the Melkor is.
No, right. This is what I'm saying.
The Trakens seem to know exactly what it is.
Exactly, but we don't.
No. We don't. And the idea is that it will just appear.
Yep.
And as long as you sort of just like say nice things to it, give it some flowers and clear the moss off it, it won't kill anything.
Well,
but
so
if you don't, it will just raise merry hell.
Isn't it that it was bad? It was evil.
It's pure evil. And
yeah,
that's
it calcified.
And they calcified it from being by being good.
By being good.
But
how?
It looks shite. Like, you know, of all the designs in Doctor Who,
it looks almost like it's the Elephant Man's skeleton.
Yes, it does. it doesn't look symmetrical.
No,
at all.
I just don't get what it is. Whether like the origin source is that the keeper of Traken has to power it. Is it the power of sheer goodness on the planet? Tom, you know about this.
So isn't it that he lands there? It's a bit like if the Melkor is a boat and the goodness is like the sea, and he gets like covered in like barnacles of good, and then he can't move and he gets stuck.
Oh, have a banana. All right, well, if that's the case, that's not fucking clear at all. Anyway, it appears and it does nothing. It just stands there like John Merrick's corpse. Anyway, because of that, the entire society, again, it's one of those places where the entire society is wrapped around the most dullest, benign task. This is just making sure that the Melkor's always happy.
Well, this episode feels like, and no offence, a Hartnell.
Right.
Because nothing much happens, and it's full of actors all dressed like they're the Shakespeare company.
It looks really lovely, though. The Grove. I think the Grove and all
the
interiors
are
beautiful. Really lovely.
A Blue Peter Garden.
You're saying the Melkor's the tortoise?
Yes, I am.
They have to placate it.
Yeah. It's Carrie Anoki.
Anyway, so that's what they do. It's so evil it can't run, walk, talk, or speak.
Nope.
And it has to be tended by the tenders, and one of them at the moment is Cassia.
Yes.
And she's married. She's married Tremus.
Tremus. Should we get it out of our system?
Let's get it out of the system.
Mr. Tremus.
Mr. Tremus. Mr. Tremus.
From the council.
What do you want? I'm from Gallifrey Council. Get out of my Melkor. Mr. Tremus, I'm so sorry. There's 4,000 mattresses in your Melkor. I've been in your zero room. Do you need 400 milk plates and 6,000 bags of cement?
Get out of my
Melkor. Yeah.
Leave me alone!
Get out! Leave me alone! Oh, Mr. Tremus.
And then they moved him to the zero room and he died.
He died.
Look at all the space you got, die. Can we just say, Mr. Ainley has a goodie. Lovely.
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 What a
charm
lovely little
personified.
But he's genuinely really nice at being.
And
like,
when him and the Doctor
worthy.
Are working together, it's really lovely.
It's really sweet, isn't it? And it's such a nice thing to see because then. Now, from this point onwards, every time you see someone looking insane, you go, there's Anthony Ainley going. You know, and sometimes trying to be good, but you go...
You know.
So this is the first time, and you go, oh, he's really lovely.
I do think, though, it's a good thing that he got it, because up to that point, the master was being a bit politically correct by blacking up.
And painting his teeth on his lips. That was very odd, wasn't
there
it?
There you go. However, because now Cassie's going to marry Tremus, they're thinking about maybe getting a new Tender of the Grove, and that's going to be their daughter, Nyssa.
Nyssa's
first story, everyone. Yeah, that's exciting. A new master and a new... And a Nyssa.
And a Nyssa.
Not a new Nissan. No.
I've just noticed your badge. That's very fun. He's wearing a Cyberman badge.
Cyberman badge on.
It's lovely.
Yeah, there you go. So Cassia basically goes to the... I hate it that they call them the consoles and not the council. They keep going to the consoles.
Yes.
And she's got, I've got serious misgivings about this.
Serious
reservations. Yeah.
Imagine if the Tremus was actually Tony Baron.
Tony Baron.
So Cassia sort of like starts like talking to herself about, oh, Melkor, you could be so nasty and evil as long as things are okay. Mm. And then suddenly the statue for the first time speaks and goes, soon.
Bitch.
And you go, wow. And then straight after that, a body's found. Because the tracker can occasionally go, with his laser eyes.
Yeah.
Laser eyes, yeah. Of course, all the consoles are like, oh, he's just died of old age. Because he was boring. Of course, there's nothing happens on this planet. But then suddenly everyone else is going, yes, but there's a strange pervading evil that we have no evidence for. Brilliant.
Look,
anyway.
Here on track and we work on gut.
Yeah, gut feeling. Yeah. Really boring gut feeling. Anyway, the TARDIS appears. You don't see it materialise, so fuck off.
And it doesn't take off for the rest of the episode. No.
And it's falling. This is falling apart.
But it looks lovely in the grove.
Mm. Oh, the lovely grove.
Oh, the lovely grove. So now the council summon the Fosters to blither about superstition and evil and lots of arguments.
I like it because there's someone called Proctor Neiman, and that's a bit like my name.
Oh, yes.
If you were a bum doctor.
Yeah. Proctologist Neiman.
Well, the only thing he's got in his arsenal was a banana.
Banana.
Have a banana. Get off your dirty prod. Cassie explains that the crops are failing and now there's a death. Something's amiss.
Oh, no.
Mm. Yes. So, that of course, they then go, oh, we know what's amiss. These two people that have just arrived, the Doctor and Adric. So they try and pin it on them.
I mean, pin it on Adric. That's fine.
Yeah. Standard. Yeah, I mean, anyway.
Pin it on him like a badge of excellence, hey. I say.
Pin it on him like a fucking anvil on a on a grape. The Doctor explains that he was invited there because the Keeper saw him in his TARDIS and they're all like, come on, the Keeper can
Keeper's
barely
in
move.
Fucking glass
Keeper's
cage.
A tiny little wizened old fart that lives in a wicker chair. Come on. So they just don't believe it.
The Doctor says,
have you mentioned Putin? The Doctor says, look, I've got a spaceship, it's a TARDIS, it's in the grove. So Cassia and co go, all right, we'll get some people to go and check that out. They go in the garden to check. However, the Melkor does something that we don't know what it is yet. And the TARDIS appears to dematerialise, because it doesn't make a dematerialise noise.
It does.
It doesn't go, boop, it just goes. Strange. So now they come back, the soldiers go, he's telling right porky pies.
I love that the Melkor is just such a force of like mischief. It's such a like...
It's
for the benefits of people watching at home, Paul's doing a John Merrick.
Anyway, there you go. And so they go, well, then you're an imposter and we're going to shoot you. And that's the end of part one. But instead of raising the things, they actually end the... with them going, and so you'll be shot. And you just see the guards sort of like fiddling with their guns. almost get them ready, but it's already finished. And you
Done.
Go... Pathetic.
They retired after making a grove look so good. They couldn't do the rest of it. They're like, we're done.
We begin part two with 4 minute recap of part one.
It's 4 minutes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then
you see on iPlayer now.
Their guns have been raised, and then they just lower them and go, we can do some more talking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. So that's what they do.
Yep.
They have a little talk. Oh, God. the Doctor says he's innocent, and he says, look, I'll tell you what, I'll actually help you in this mystery.
Yeah.
And Tremus goes, I shall vouch for him and he'll be under my care.
Mm.
And they go, all right then, bloody Tremus. So now there's lots of running around and investigating nothing.
It's a nice burnt out old fridge. I'll put that look fine in my garden.
What are the 400 rows of carpets coming out the back of the Melkor? Why every so often in the grove can we just hear beep, 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 big truck tips loads of shit inside a statue. Who knows? So Tremus says that even though there's been a death, he can detect surges of plasma fields.
Mm.
So, you know, that explained. Yep. Tremus offers I've done that. They all go to bed.
Yeah, that's good.
It's now the next morning.
Yep.
Nyssa is now tending to the Melkor, mm-hmm. laying flowers at his feet. And then Cassius sees it and says, "Oh, away with you, that's my job." Thrilling, isn't it? Mm. and then the Melkor mm-hmm. sounds like, what? Head fog at Harrow. No idea what that means.
Head fog at Harrow.
Oh, the head fag at Harrow. It's not fog, it's fag. Yeah. He basically talks. And he does this. Yeah, hello, how are you? He does literally sound like head. Not the head fog.
No.
Overhead Harrow.
Yeah.
The head fag at the
head
school.
Hedgehog at Harrow sounds like a sort of Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah.
Also sounds like a podcast we could all get into.
Oh, yeah.
The Hedgehog at Harrow.
Hedgehog at Harrow.
Let's do a crowdfunder for
nine, in nine parts. and now goes, "You will do everything I ask of you, Cassia. Mm-hmm. You will suffer." And she goes, "Oh, please don't make me suffer like this. I will. And I'll hurt your father." And that's what does it for her. She's like, not my dear father. And then the Melkor goes, "I've got a present for you. This mysterious, painful collar just appears. Put it on." I must obey the Melkor because this statue has never done anything for the fucking countless years it's been on our stupid fucking planet. Doesn't make any sense.
So
when a statue asks you to put a collar on, you put a collar on. That's what happens.
When a statue you've never met before suddenly gives you a collar. That's Marty. No, it's not Marty. It was that's Charlie. No, what's the spray?
That's
when a man you've never met before suddenly gives you flowers. That's Impulse.
Ah.
Got there in the end, everyone. Okay. Got there in the end.
For that now.
Got there in the end.
That looks like a nice collar, doesn't it?
From a statue.
That looks like a lovely collar, doesn't it? Do you know that countless people have their necks heated by filthy alien collars given out by wonky statues?
You haven't said mind bothered yet, have you?
Mind bother.
There we go.
Banana.
We've all got our catchphrases. Mine's mind bother.
Yeah.
Tom, we've just established after banana. Years, it's banana.
I don't think I've got one.
Yours have double button.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, the Consul Council, again, we don't know the source of the evil. Let's all blame everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant. And now, so Cassia now turns on Tremus because she thinks, if I can save him, at least some good has come from this.
Yes.
So they all then arrest them for no other reason that they think, you're the presence of the evil that's causing here. So they throw him in a cell, which is, you know, lovely. And then Melkor summons Cassia again and goes, I need your eyes so I can see.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And goes, beep, 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 beep. And now he can see through her eyes.
Now, when she closes her eyes, she's got eyes drawn on her eyelids.
Eyes drawn on her eyes.
Like
that glow
did in
red.
The previous episode.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like in Indiana Jones. I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this time evil. I hate you. Dragon archaeology lesson. Yeah. And now for the first time, we have a POV shot from inside the Melkor. It's lovely to know that the creature within, we won't reveal who it is yet, it's the master.
It's
literally sat up in the top bit, in the head section.
Like being in the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Like the end of Ghostbusters 2. Yeah.
Even though he's got a TARDIS, which is infinite in size, he's still somehow on a really long bar
This was
stool
my point.
With his little head looking at the eyes.
See, I thought what he'd done is he'd changed his TARDIS to look like the Melkor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought.
But no, he's actually in the Melkor? How does that work?
This is never covered. I would have thought that he thought that was the best way to smuggle himself in, by pretending to be in the Melkor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no. Somehow the Master found himself inside a Melkor.
No, but the TARDIS is the Melkor, isn't
the
it?
The TARDIS is the Melkor.
But later on it's a clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he can change
what it looks like.
Oh, of course
chameleon
he can.
Chameleon circuit works. But turns it into a long case clock, because that fits in with the fucking geography of where they are. Turn it into a bloody plant. a gate, a plinth.
Yeah.
Not a long case clock.
No, it's stupid.
Stupid.
But I think it's a bit like an AT-AT.
I like it.
From Star Wars.
Oh,
I like
see.
It. Seven.
Yeah.
Are we scoring it already?
Yeah.
Let's not bother with the rest.
Yeah, Anton de Beck.
Anyway, so she gets eyes to see.
Oh, that was Anton de Beck.
I liked it. Seven.
He's like doing a podcast with Rory Bremner.
Yeah.
Keeps them quiet, and occasionally you just get a rush of them, a glut.
Yeah.
I put that up with William Matt Smith. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Very good.
Do Mark Curry. Don't think about it. Yeah, it just sounds like you laughing.
That was his mantra.
That was
get on that steam train. Don't think about it.
Don't think anyone could do a good impression of Mark Curry.
I've never heard of Mark Curry.
Nothing face. Do you know what? We nearly saw the tip of his penis once on Blue Peter when he was in Russia in a mud bath.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah. Not one letter complaint, though.
No.
I mean, we've talked
about 5,000 letters of encouragement.
He was cursed.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, because he touched that Lego man and the head fell off.
Head fell off.
He got on the little miniature steam train and lost control and crashed into the set.
Oh, no.
Have a look. Someone made a compilation on YouTube of everything.
All the things Mark Curry said. Yeah. Oh, Mark Curry. Wasn't he that one? Wasn't he the nice?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah, no, yeah. Welcome to Blue Pizza. I was in Bugsy Malone.
He was in Bugsy Malone.
So was Bonnie Langford.
So
was Dave from The Bill. So
yeah.
Jodie
Foster.
Scott Baio.
Terence Trent D'Arby was not in it.
No. Foggy. He wasn't in it either.
Foggy?
That's what it looked like at the snooker.
Foggy and Compo were in it, but still old.
Yeah.
The only old people in that.
The thing that I wanted to be.
Would that be weird if there was just one adult just wandering around Bugsy Malone?
It was fair. Foggy. Fat Sam lad looked like he was about 48.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's a weird film, isn't it?
What happened to all the adults?
It's odd watching.
But they were the adults, Tom.
Oh, wow.
It's very odd watching.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Jodie Foster do My Name's Tallulah because it's such an overtly sexual song.
Yeah.
And it's all about, I'll give you a hand job if you want.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. That's not right. Yeah. Bonnie Langford just screams.
Yeah, it's
and
fine.
Everyone's goes, got Paul Williams' voice.
And screams. Yeah. Anyway, the doctor now, for some reason, looks at Melkor and goes, I have a feeling I've met Melkor before.
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
How?
What's happening?
Well, you've got X-ray specs that look through stone.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Elephant Man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely met him, yeah. Gave him the condition.
Oh, no!
Cool, doctor.
I was bored.
Anyway, the doctor's now running around with Tremors. Get out of my Melkor! trying to find his TARDIS, and they've rigged up a little piece of equipment to find it. And the doctor goes, oh, it's just been displaced in time. That's all it is.
I'm not going to lie, by this point, I'd totally lost interest in
that. It's just been displaced in time.
Ignored me.
Yeah. And inside the Melkor, well, the master goes, find your TARDIS, Time Lord. Not much. Will it do you now? Which is a really shit line. Will it do you now?
Now, good, please.
Good, please, to your knight.
I think you'll find it hidden safely in the postman's bin.
Postman's bin, that can mean dusty bin.
So. Sorry, we should say the other day we were quite hungover and watching Tales the Unexpected. he went off on a big tangent about Postman's Bin.
Postman's Bin?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'll tell you after the show. Yeah. the doctor... end of part three basically ends with Cassie going, everything must stop, and the master inside as the Melkor going, no, it is only the beginning. Episode 3.
Think about poor Toby Haydock. He's out running, he's out jogging, and he's listening to us, and he's using us to get round the job.
We're being horrible about his precious keeper of trials.
No, we need to keep the energy.
I really
up.
Like the idea of it. It's just really not that well written. I don't know why things are happening. Like, there needs to be some reason for why they do what they do and what the Melkor really is and how the master got
what
in it.
What it needs is, and so the dick rocking.
Yes. With his little beep, 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 beep lasers in dirty old grove. Yes. Perfect. That would have been nice, wouldn't it?
To sum it all up.
It should be handy here on track and doctor.
Oh, yeah. Handy. First shot, just an old man raking. And I didn't see you there. Partners. Why is he talking like that?
I want to see when someone does that in a film. Oh, I didn't see you there. I want it from the reverse perspective where a camera crew just walked up.
I completely saw you there.
Well. This camera crew was at Bob's house and Mike's house.
Don't see many camera crews this side of Telos. Pull up a counter. Alien name for a thing.
Aliens,
look what the varmint dragged in. A full camera crew.
Oh, it's you. I've never met you before.
Ah, well, welcome to Gallifrey.
Well, you sure are welcome anyway, partner.
Pull up a pew. I got tales to tell you.
I don't want to hear anything from you, old timer. Old timey lorder. Sorry.
Why, I'm surprised Doctor Who never did that unless they did. You know the old the trope of meeting up with the Doctor like in the future where he's just like tending to a field and he's all old.
Yeah.
Like a Picard, last episode of Next Generation type thing.
Oh.
Anyway, let's do episode three.
We're only on episode three.
Yeah, so the Doctor, Adric and Chambers are thrown into a cell. Because they just don't know what to do with them.
I could have sworn you said four, that's why I started talking. If I'd known you said three, I wouldn't have said anything.
Basically, the only thing that happens in this is that they're in prison. They escape from prison because Nyssa breaks in to help them.
They
run around for a bit while the Melkor, still as the Melkor, now demands that Cassia becomes the actual keeper
of
Trakan, because he wants to gain control to the origin source, which is the power of the planet, which then in turn will help him, which you only find out in episode four, to regenerate. Because his act of regeneration's the master. He's on his 13th.
Yes, because he's all crispy.
Oh, yeah, because the Doctor does say at some point that you can't have any more.
That's why he looks like a little sort of crispy raisin.
Which we now know is not true, because the Doctor's had at least 15.
Yeah. But there's a reason for that. And it's
just... He got zapped some by Gavin.
16, if you count Tennant again.
Double Tennant.
Yeah. So anyway, the Doctor now sort of goes, do you know what? I need to have a source manipulator built. And Adric, can you fuck off and not be in the story for a bit with Nyssa in the TARDIS?
Yeah, Nyssa gets sent to make something again.
In our first episode.
Yeah.
Our first story, and it's can you not be in the story? Which is literally the thing, you know, this is it now for poor old Nyssa. And she goes into the TARDIS with Adric and does the hope, it's bigger on the inside now. She's like, yes, swivel. Adric, at least be decent, you know. And they build a
light bulb.
Ballcock.
No, yeah.
It does have a name. It's written in episode four somewhere. And that's what they're going to do. But suddenly there's weird thunder and lightning for no reason at all. Which that means the old keeper, the one who appeared.
I'm an old egg wrapped in the burnt dog hair. Stop me doing charity runs in Gallifrey.
And Mr. Draken.
Yeah.
He's now dying. Or he's dead. Dead.
Because Dracula has a very gameable sort of parliament or system of things, isn't it? It's just a very old man, and if you say, I want to take over, you can.
It's like the Dark Crystal with the Skeksis.
I nominate myself. And they oh, go on then. Because again, they have a society where they do two things, but they don't know the why and the how for why they do them.
Yes.
And the entire world lives in this fucking perpetual madness of doing two things all the time.
Yeah.
Tending a Melkor and then going, the origin of the harmonies of love must... Oh, God, what are we doing with our lives? Let's all have an orgy.
A Taste of Melkor.
A Taste of Melkor by Gary Delaney. No, it wasn't Gary Delaney. Who wrote The Taste of Honey?
Taste of honey, tasting much sweeter.
Oh, song wrote it. That's nice. So the playwright was a song.
Wasn't it?
Lovely idea.
Fred
when the boy becomes a man and a playwright becomes a song.
Fred Truman.
Hello.
There he is.
Tom Noonan, if you say Tom Noonan.
Yes.
Fred Truman, Tom Noonan.
Wasn't the Khan's first name Noonan?
Noonan.
Tom Noonan Khan.
Tom Noonan Sun Khan. The Candyman soon comes. As he covers it in evil.
He's in Day of the Daleks.
Who is?
The Candyman. The guy who sings the Candyman.
Oh, right. Yeah, he is.
Sorry, for a moment I thought you were going to say Khan was in it. I think I would have remembered that.
Khan's mum is in Image of the Fendal, but that's very.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Oak Keeper's dying.
Yep.
It's thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening.
Yep.
All the guards scatter. The Oak Keeper then snuffs it, and Cassio is towed by the Melkor to take the place, because then he can abandon her and become the very centre of the space origin of goodness.
Yes.
And this is what allows the Master to fully get all his powers. Mm. Except he's only temporarily taken over the thing, because he sort of fades in and out when he gets tired.
Yeah.
He also appears at the sound of a TARDIS, which I don't get, even though it is a TARDIS, but sat in a chair. So the Melkor can now sit down. Can it do a Brucey at the beginning of Generation
This is why I'm confused, because it can sit down. Because it's a statue.
Confused.
How can it sit down?
But it can move, it can walk.
Well, we never see it, Warren.
Oh, I forgot about the bit in the end of episode. The reason why they get into trouble in episode one is because the old keeper's there, and he's talking to the console, and the fucking Melkor appears at the back of the door.
He walks behind them.
And he goes, evil, evil. And that's how they blame the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all they had to do was these intelligent fucking race of people is look behind them. Yeah. Or for the stupid old fucking keeper of tracking to go, not the Doctor, the fucking Melkor. Yeah, but no.
Do you think the Melkor was doing like Michael Caine does when he has to always be at the back of his shot?
Always has to be in the back of his own shot.
Yeah.
So the Oakkeeper dies. Cassie takes over. The Master then gets rid of her. I think she just dies.
She just completely vanishes.
She vanishes completely. She's gone now.
The source, which is, as far as I can tell, is just like three little fires.
Yes.
Reggae source.
Which they've done. They've done in another episode with the source was fired.
Sacred fire from Brain of Morbius.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Melkor taking over is the end of episode three.
God.
Anyway, episode four. This is now 10 minutes of the Melkor just gloating. I'm in control. And he orders everyone to be shoved in rooms because the Melkor realizes, hasn't said anything yet. Melkor realizes that he's not quite, sorry, not the Melkor, the Master inside the Melkor realizes that he hasn't quite got all his power. So he needs to sort of like recharge or for the powers to get used to his system or whatever sci-fi reason they've come up with. So everyone is confined to quarters apart from the guard who sounds like you, Tom. He's got his name like you.
Have we got to the bit where the Doctor and Tremus look at the map?
That's now, isn't it?
Because I think it's very on brand for Anthony Ainley.
Yeah.
The two objects they used to hold the map were two eggplants. Two aubergines.
Oh, I love the aubergines.
This is
he'd put in emojis if he could.
So this is a bit where the Doctor puts a plan into motion. He goes, look, if I can mess around with the console, the outer ring, shall we say, of the console chamber where the Keeper Tracking sits, I can probably, do some major damage here.
Yeah.
But I'll need plans. So the Master goes, oh, well, I keep the plans here, but I can't show them to you. And the Doctor goes, for God's sake, man, the whole world's going to end. And he goes, oh, go on then.
Yeah.
I really like the way the plans revealed in that secret safe. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Really good effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, as John said, which is brilliant, is they unfurl the old plans and they put two aubergines on. It's really funny.
Should have been an aubergine and a little Chelsea bun.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Just something.
For a tit.
Yeah, you can't have aubergine emojis on a map.
There's no emoji for a Fanny, is there?
Well, I hope not.
No.
Not on BBC. Two hands doing 5.
That. Triangle.
slice of pizza?
Slice of pizza with fur on it.
Oh, God.
Horrible idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway, so
a
they
peach.
Get...
A peach.
A peach.
Oh, lovely.
There you go.
Classy.
Lovely old peach.
Peach, Chelsea bun and aubergine.
Peach, Chelsea bun and aubergine. Lovely cup of cocoa. And a rabbit stew.
A sausage.
And a hang glider.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a tank.
And a banana.
And Malcolm Middleton's favourite.
You've got stuck now. Come on. come on, son.
Right. Tremus also informs that if the Doctor is to create chaos, that 5 rings are needed.
Like he's fucking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Which, by the way, is immediately abandoned because they don't find 5 rings at all. And Tremus goes, I lost my ring. he does. I thought this is leading up to we need to put 5 rings from all the individual console members. But that's also completely abandoned. Adric and Nyssa have built their servo shut off. That's what it's called. So now two things are happening concurrently. The Melkor keeps appearing, going, I'm going to kill you, Doctor, but not yet. And then fades away and comes back and goes, nearly ready to kill you. Mm. So just don't go making plans. Goodbye. And it disappears. And now the Doctor has got his little gizmo ready. Adric and Nyssa have got their gizmo ready. And they both have to independently go to the top of the chamber and the bottom of the chamber to try and kill the Melkor, even though they've not really discussed that. And we still don't know what it does. And it's talking about
have
rings.
Have we skipped the amazing escape the Doctor has from the three...
Tell me about the amazing escape, three guards, Tom, so I can just stop talking for 2 minutes.
Oh, where he puts their heads together.
He says, I've always thought the two heads are better than one. And then I think one of the most...
This is here, yeah.
Is that...
After looking at the map, they want to escape. And then the guards are guarding them. So he bangs all their heads together.
Yeah. Which is one of the...
That's really funny.
Yeah, it is funny, but the way it's delivered,
it's very awkward.
It is awkward.
It's the last dying embers of poor old Tom, isn't it? It's not Tom, it's just the story.
This is his penultimate story.
It is, it feels it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adric and Nyssa creep down to set their thingy in motion. The Melkor now summons, again, for some reason, it's all just stay in there, now come outside, now go back in, now come out. Summons the Doctor and Tremus, and now goes, I'm now in full power and observe and makes the Doctor freeze.
Oh, yeah.
And also takes over Mr. Trebus.
Oh, no.
Makes him sweep up his Melkor. With a Harry Hoover. He says that, he takes over his body and then goes to Tom Neenan, but not Tom Neenan, yeah, whatever the guy's called, who's the guard. Mm. And he goes, show me your loyalty, Trebus. Kill the guard.
Yeah.
And puts a gun in his hand. He's like, no, I couldn't. And he does. Mm. Yeah. And he shoots him.
Yeah.
Just point blank.
Brutal.
Dead.
Absolutely brutal.
Point blank dead.
Tumbles over a table.
Yeah.
He's a table tumbler. I can't even read my own writing because at the moment I'm just writing, help me. Now he's controlling the Doctor. He opens the door of the chamber and gets the Doctor in because he's going to now take the Doctor. He said he's going to drain him. Atom.
Not like that.
Atom. No. He's not going to take him over the chamber, you know, strangling him with his scarf. Trying to fathom out his safe word.
Imagine if Nyssa and Adric come in and the Doctor being assaulted like that. At the end of the episode, him going, just don't tell anyone.
Sorry, I'm just worried about time. Suddenly the Doctor disappears. And now he's inside the TARDIS. He's inside the Melkor.
Yeah.
And now he meets the Master, who's all crispy. And he goes, ah, oh, you're the Master. Of
Master.
And the Master's like, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to sap you of all your energy. And I'm going to take your regenerations. And ha, 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 I'm the best. Now Adric turns on his thingy machine. And then the Doctor fades back into the main chamber.
Uh-huh.
He's trapped inside the chamber. And he's already pushed several of the numbers. He had to do a number sequence.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's got to do with the five rings, but apparently it did. But he didn't press the last three. He then shouts at Adric to open the door, and he presses the last three, and then kaboom, and then that's the end of that. That's the end of that. And you think, oh, well, that's the Master's gone, the Master's dead. And I've never seen such a quick, well, that's us done, bye.
Yeah.
The explosion's just gone off, and they go, goodbye. And you're like, holy God, oh,
but
okay.
But then...
As the new dawn begins on track, and Tremus is just wandering around going, that was...
What a day.
I'm still a lovely, lovely man, though. And then notices a long case clock. Goes to look at it and goes, oh, I'm stuck on a long case clock. And then from behind the long case clock comes the wizzled, spindly old Master and goes, oh, goody, a new body. And how does he do that
not
bit?
Not clear.
How does he do that bit?
They use an effect for him to step in the same shape.
Yeah. Yes.
How did he do it?
Well, we don't know because he had no regenerations left.
But
no,
the only thing people will probably say is maybe because he was part of the origin source, he used some of that energy or whatever. But anyway, for the first time, we get our new Master that we all come to know. And he chuckles and says, a new body, ha ha ha, and he gets inside the clock,
dematerialises.
And he opens a longside clock, and 4,000 tons of rubbish. And he goes, stakes it here.
Yeah.
And he gets in, and it dematerialises, and that's the bloody end.
There was great respect between those two actors that played the Master. Because it was Jeffrey Beavers and Anthony Ainley. And as we all know, Anthony Ainley is a big fan of Beavers.
Due to an admirer, he ended up in the book. I think we should score it out of aubergines.
Aubergines?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'll go first.
Yep.
I seem to remember really liked this when I first saw it when I was young. I like the set. It's lovely to see Nyssa's first story. It's lovely to see Ainley. But this story is really... It's bit ploddy. Again, they haven't set up their stall enough for me to understand properly what's going on. I found the idea of a wizened old Master inside a thing petrifying when I was young, genuinely scared of the Master. Now when I see what the Master was, doesn't even look like a bloke in a suit. It looks like a little lady.
Yeah.
It just looks weird.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's the Master's first story, but I don't know. It's just dull, ploddy, and hasn't written its own logic enough for me to buy it. So I'm going to give it a 50. Right down the middle, 50 aubergines. Jolled.
I just thought it was dull. I like the idea, like you. I just thought it was just dull and badly done. So I'm going to give it 35.
35
aubergines.
And I will give it 80, no explanation. So it's 165.
80?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
No explanation.
Don't have time.
Tom, just say one word to him. Bananas.
Fucking hell.
Well, do we have any correspondence? No explanation.
We did. Can't just say no explanation.
I love it. I love it so much. I love it so much.
Looks like we'll never know.
It had the case. It came with the 30th anniversary VHS case.
Oh. No, don't tell us. I don't want to know. In fact, after the show, I'm going to ask you, and I still don't know what you need to tell us.
Okay. Roku Hadu says, ooh. Keeper tracking, Tom looking tired, Adric making me question the existence of love and God. Waiting for the shoe to drop with Anthony Ainley playing a character called Tremus and wondering why he's helping the Doctor up until the last scenes. An okay late Tom story, 61 out of 100 magic chairs. Color Horizon review says, fun fact, the story is so dull not even Star Trek fans can fucking watch it.
Oh,
Tim Coleman says, creepy but dull, put 70 year old me off grandfather clocks for years. Melka's scary even though he has a stone barbershop hat on. Tremus isn't the master until he's taken over at the end, but his name is already an anagram of master.
Doesn't make much sense, but yeah.
41 out of 100, you have nipples, can I Melkers? Henry Rubinston says, my very favourite Doctor Who story, 100 out of 100 Melker.
Idiot!
It has it all, right down to the final fanfare for eyes painted on eyelids. Tom also looks like he's actually enjoying himself for the first time in the season, and his performance is the best he's given since City of Death. Andrew F. says, Melka must be the most obscure character to have their own Dapple action figure back
in
the day.
Yeah, you could buy your own Melka.
Unusually for them, it looks at least vaguely like the original. Ben Thomas says, Keeper Track and the first Doctor Who appearance from cheese-hating toupee enthusiast and keen amateur photographer Anthony Ainley. I've just found his obituary in the Cricket Monthly, and it reports that he used to bat for his club side wearing flying goggles to protect his eyes.
Such a weird guy.
To protect his eyes for screen close-ups. The more you find out about Ainley, the more odd and unknowable he becomes.
Yeah.
The opposite of true is Sarah Sutton, debuting as Nyssa, who seems eternally nice, normal, and slightly dull. Matthew Waterhouse recalled immediately liking Sutton on meeting her and spontaneously hugging her. She responded by slapping him. Tom Baker was apparently dour throughout recording due to the rough patch that was his entire relationship with Lala Ward.
Oh,
to be a fly on the wall during filming. Better than watching the actual story anyway. And he's included a link to the cricket obituary. Yeah. Nick Burden says, an early moment of mine. A sumptuous looking story about a dying man on a chair. A crispy master returns and finds a perfect anagram. Tom stuck with Adric and PC Tony Stamp is stuck inside the melter. 40 stuck on eyes out of 100.
Yeah.
Patrick Smith, in which the master searches the universe for someone whose name is an anagram so he can disguise himself with the usual amount of cunning. Jonathan Roberts, my main memory was the crispy master and little else. The Doctor visits a slow BBC costume drama where every line is very acted. Thankfully, Tom's delivery cuts through the rada stodge. Odd pacing, making episode 4 rushed, and Tom's out of there like it's last orders over the road.
Yeah.
Tyrone Mann, Baker happy as Larry as he dies in the next story, resulting in Adric becoming Davidson's boil on the arse from then on. Hand a Sladen's swan song, resembling an early version of the creation of Dr. Manhattan. Mysterious, the Valley Yard should have dealt with the 13th Doctor. Watcher, 1963, I don't know what's more wooden, the sets or Adric. Ooh. DJ Alpha, tracking. It's surprising how good Anley is in this. How far though, creating his big book of fannies, do you reckon he is? Mark Hemmings.
At the moment, he's just got a pamphlet.
Yeah. Mark Hemmings, a great performance of Anley and co, plus a good mystery, help a rather lackluster studio band tell. The Master's return was a surprise and shadow of things to come. Nice design work, and I like the music. Mm. A good self-contained romp. 70 vine-covered statues out of 100.
Lovely.
Good Lord.
Ben Cowdell says, Shakespeare but written in a dull manner. As disguises go, a marble statue is certainly something. Half-assed, booger-filled Tom Baker stumbles along through rooms of people failing to be terribly nice to one another. 65 out of 100 saucy manipulators.
Ooh.
And Richard Black, finally, with the last word, says, Tom looks fucked.
Well, there you are.
The correspondent.
You heard it there, folks. So I'm sorry that this was a little bit rushed. It's due to the fact that to get here in Hackney, it took me 2 hours instead of 40 minutes. Because of not train strikes or for whatever reason, there's obviously a picture of a leaf on a line. So the whole of the London Overground isn't working. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it for this one. I'm sure there'll be another one coming along pretty soon. Great mates. I'm completely losing my mind. So I'm just going to say goodbye from myself, Mr. Paul Litchard, from John Rain.
Goodbye.
And from Mr. Tom Neenan.
Goodbye.
And if you find the cunt or the current of Melkor and it's growing near you, talk to your local ombudsman. Goodbye!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.